Wonderful. Easter is that moment in the life of the church where we recognize that Christ defeated death and he alone is a life-giving Lord. He was victorious over death in order to give us, his followers, victorious life. Let's pray. Father God, this morning as we gather, we even hear that song sung, Arise, my love, and you have called that out even to each of us. You have given us, Lord, salvation. And Lord, you cry out and say, take it. Take it. I give it to you freely. Just believe me. Believe in me. So, Lord, we do. Today we come together as your people, and we know that you are victorious over death so that we could have eternal life. You have proven time and time again, Lord, that you take what seems to be defeat and you do a miracle with it. And each one of us, Lord, could attest to that today in some way. And so, Lord, we pray for one another. You've called us to pray for each other, and so we do, Lord. We pray for those who are sick, those who, Lord, just aren't well, those who maybe are awaiting surgery or, Lord, further tests in their physical health. We pray and lift them up to you. You know each one by name. Lord, we pray for those who may be suffering in other ways, maybe not in health ways, Lord, maybe not physically, but, Lord, maybe emotionally. Maybe they're trying, Lord, in their circumstances, and they're feeling defeated. We pray, Lord, for your victory in their life. And Lord, we pray that this morning, on this Easter morning, that we would know, that you would impart to us your truth, so that we would know that we believe in you, and our belief in you brings to us, Lord, that victory that we need each and every moment of our life. Because you're God, who is a victorious God. And you for so loved us that you gave your only Son. And we believe in you. Lord, we believe you. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. May what we say, what we do here, may be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Do you enjoy life today? Do you enjoy living today? Many of us are like wondering what life has to offer, and sometimes we're walking through stuff and we're questioning, how can I get victory over this? It's like this hip young man who goes out and he buys the best car available, a brand new Ferrari 550. It is also the most expensive car likely in the world, and it cost him around $500,000. He takes it out for a spin, and he stops for a red light, and this old fella on a moped, 75 years old, kind of pulls up beside him, and the old fella looks over at this sleek, shiny, beautiful red car, and he asks, what kind of a car you got there, sonny? And the young man, he replies, he said, well, it's a Ferrari, it's a 550, cost $500,000. Huh, it's a lot of money, a lot of money. Why does it cost so much? Well, because this car can do up to 320 miles an hour. The young dude was so proud. So the moped driver, he asked, mind if I take a look inside? Oh, no problem. Kind of, you know, he's excited about this. So the old fella, he pokes his head in the window, and he kind of looks around and sits back on his moped, you know. And the old fella says, he said, you know, that's a pretty nice car, but I'll stick with my moped. The light changes, so this hot rodder decides to show this moped owner what this car can do, and so he floors it. And within 30 seconds, the speedometer reads 160 miles an hour. And suddenly he notices a dot in his rearview mirror. seems to be getting a little closer, and he slows down to see what it could be, and suddenly, whoosh, something whizzed by him. It's going much faster than his car. He thought, what is this? Could this be going faster than my Ferrari? So he floors the accelerator, and he takes the Ferrari up to 250 miles an hour, and then up ahead of him, he sees that it's the old fellow on the moped. So amazed that that moped could pass his Ferrari, he gives it some more gas, and he passes the moped at 275 miles an hour. Whoosh! Feeling pretty good. He looks in his mirror, and he sees that old man gaining on him again. And astounded by the speed of this fella, he floors the gas pedal. He takes the Ferrari up to 320 miles an hour. 10 seconds later, he sees the moped bearing down on him again. The Ferrari is flat out, and there's nothing he can do. And suddenly that moped, it plows in the back of his Ferrari, demolishing the rear. And this young man, he jumps out, and unbelievably, the old fellow is still alive. And he runs up to this mangled old fellow, and feeling compassion, he says, "Oh, is there anything I can do for you?" And the old fellow whispers, he says, "Unhook my suspenders from your side view mirror." I am certain. I am certain that 75-year-old was thankful to be alive. I'm even more certain that young dude was elated that he was. But how about you? Are you just as excited about your life today, right now? You see, this morning we're going to look at living a victorious life. I'm sure that many of us, I'm sure all of us, want more than anything else to really live a victorious life. I mean, we really want to enjoy living life. And so I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, as we look at this wonderful passage in the book of Luke, beginning at verse 1, and I'm going to read to the end of verse 9 this morning. On the first day of the week, Luke 24, verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were there wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. To live a victorious life, you got to first of all look to Jesus. You got to look to Jesus. You see, I can't imagine that how these followers of Jesus felt after the Good Friday cross. I have my suspicions. Because I think, you know, if that happened to me, if Good Friday happened to me, the one whom they had followed, believed, and trusted in was tortured, mutilated, and nailed to a cross, crucified, and then he died. I am certain that they were feeling defeated. I am positive that they would feel depressed. I am quite assured that they would be discouraged. And so we read verse 5. In their fright. The women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" These wonderful ladies sensed the need to do what is most appropriate. They went early in the morning to anoint Jesus' body with spices. This would be like laying down flowers today. They came to the graveside of the one they loved. The Jesus that they had looked to was now the Jesus they go to anoint. And they arrive at the tomb of the one that they loved, and it's open. It's open. It's open. And there's no Jesus. You see, if you want a victorious life, you need Jesus. Two angels appear and they ask a question that we need to pay attention to this Easter day more than anything else. You need to get this. Why do you look for the living among the dead? I want to encourage you, out of everything else, get this on this Easter morn. Don't look for answers in wrong places. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, "Do not take advice from the ungodly. Do not sit where pastors and scoffers and mourners sit." It's very important who is having input in your life right now, this very moment. You don't want to be taking advice from somebody that's ungodly and expecting to get life out of it. Because all you're going to get is death. It's not going to produce anything good. It's not going to produce good things in your life. It's going to produce bad things in your life. Sooner or later, you've got to let go of the dead stuff and start moving on to the living things. Amen? I love that statement that's in this story, the Easter resurrection story. Why do you look for the living among the dead? One of the things you don't want to do, I'm not really speaking to anybody in this room, you know, but we're on the internet now, so, you know, I'll speak to all of you on the internet. The rest of you can go to sleep if you want. I cut a commercial. In which, anybody ever seen a commercial on TV? You know, the rest of you, you know, you're looking like, no, I don't watch TV, you know. You know, you're trying, if we put our hand up, is he going to call us up to the front, you know, or something? I caught a commercial in which you can call in a psychic. You can call in a psychic. Only costs you, I think it was around $4 a minute. $4 a minute. It's interesting. $4 a minute. What would that be in an hour? What's four to? Going, what's four times? What's an hour? 60 minutes. Four, how much is that? $240 for 1 hour. For a psychic. And then I heard, it's interesting, I heard about a psychic, one of the United States, that has taken in $360 million last year. The government's trying to do something about it. That makes me angry. That upsets me. People get upset about televangelists taking money. Here we got psychics. I don't know what I can do about that except pray and let God look after that stuff. But why do you search for the living among the dead? That's what came to my mind. We search so often in things that appear exciting and wonderful, we may even think that they will bring us unending happiness. But let me assure you, there will be something ending, and it will be your happiness eventually, if you're looking in the wrong places. Because only looking to Jesus, only looking to Jesus, can you ever achieve everlasting joy in your life? Only looking to Him. I'm going to tell you, you can't live one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. You can't partake of the things that are ungodly and also partake of the things of God. Now, I know why people do it, because they're desperate to know what's going to happen in their life, and so they call these psychic hotlines. But if you put your life in God's hands, you're not going to worry about what's going to happen in your life tomorrow. Amen? Brings our second point to live a victorious life. You've got to look to Jesus, but you also got to trust in Jesus. Trust in him. If you look at verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. The women went to the tomb, and they were searching for Jesus, and then they saw the open tomb. And I'm sure there was some bewilderment with them for just a moment. They likely wondered, why is this stone rolled away? There's nothing like coming to a tomb that you can, and it's open. Well, what's going on here? I tell you, there is nothing. There is nothing like turbulence to teach us about trust. There's nothing like turbulence to teach us about trust. I came across this video of a traffic camera in Surrey, BC, and it's looking west on 72nd Avenue, King George Highway. And I want you to watch the car in the fourth lane, the right-hand side, coming from the bottom of the screen. I want you to see this. Okay, watch the bottom of the screen there. You watch it? Did something happen? I don't know. Can we see that again? Just one more time. Just one more time. Look at that. Okay. I don't know if that guy knows the Lord or not, but I got to tell you, somebody was praying for him. See, there's nothing like turbulence to teach us about trust. And I love these words in here. Then they remembered. Then they remembered. In his book, Telling Secrets, Frederick Buchner tells of a time when he was parked by the roadside and he was terribly depressed. He was afraid about his daughter's illness and the difficulties in his family. He was just sitting there at the roadside. And a car came out of nowhere with a license plate that bore one word out of all the words in the dictionary. It was the one word that Frederick needed at that moment most to see, in that very moment. The word, the one word above anything else Frederick needed to remember. He was driving by in a car. License plate, T-R-U-S-T. It spells trust, in case you're wondering. What do you call a moment like that? An angel moment? A moment of life-giving word from the Heavenly Father? It's interesting, the owner of that vehicle actually contacted Frederick Buchner, and it turned out that the owner of that vehicle, who has that license plate, is a trust officer in a bank. See what God does? In the aftermath of the worst devastation, God does his biggest miracles. In the aftermath of the worst devastation, God does his biggest miracles. You've heard it before. You've heard many times about 9/11, of all the miracles that happened after 9/11. You've heard about all the miracles that have happened after New Orleans and the tragedy of the tsunami down there. You've heard about number of miracles that have happened in Africa, in Malaysia, in London. You've heard of the miracles that have happened right here in this congregation, right in this church, even right now today. You've heard of miracles. And that miracle is the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, their Lord. Amen? And the women were given these words by those men, those angels. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. They heard. And then they remembered Christ's words to them. They received a license plate, and then they remembered. How many times does God remind each of us? In fact, maybe even this morning, God is reminding you He is God. He is a victorious Savior. Maybe He's saying to you, remember my word. The Bible is the living word of God. This is a living document. If you want to live a life of victory, this is what you need. This book. You can tell I get passionate about when I preach. I have this pin on here. A lot of you have seen me wear this pin. I wear it all the time. I usually wear it every Sunday. Do you know what it says on here? What does it say? It says, try God. Can you guys say it? Try God. Try God. Say it again. I want to hear you. Try God. You know what? You've tried everything else. You've tried everything else. Try God. Quit looking among the dead things. Look for life. It's right here. And these women, they remember the words of Christ. This is what the Bible is for us today. That's why I say, memorize verses out of here. Enjoy this book. Learn from this book. Trust this book. Listen. Guarantee. I will give you a guarantee. If you truly start digging in here, reading this book, your life will change completely. Life will be different for you. I didn't say it'll be trouble-free, but it will give you a greater outlook on life because you will discover where you can only trust, and that is in Jesus Christ. Robert Flatt said it well when he said, the resurrection gives my life meaning and direction and the opportunity to start over no matter what my circumstances. Wow. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you're into. Doesn't matter where you're going or what direction you're headed. The resurrection gives you meaning. It gives your life meaning, direction, opportunity. The resurrection power of Christ is for every day of your life. The Easter event is not just for today, friends. The greatest miracle of all of history, past, present, future, is for every day of your life. You can live such a victorious life. Christ overpowered death. He resurrected. You need to resurrect yourself. Trust God with whatever it is that is causing you to live a defeated life. Don't live that way anymore. Tell yourself that you can do it. Start enjoying your life. Christ is not dead. He's alive. So this Easter morning is a morning of new life for you. Trust in Jesus. Just as the women, we need to revisit the tomb where Jesus, dead and buried, is not there because He is a victorious Lord and He is victorious over your hurt. He's victorious over your pain. He's victorious over your past. He's victorious over your marriage. He's victorious over your drinking problem. He's victorious over your sexual addiction. He's victorious over your financial burden. He's victorious over your rejection, over your ridicule, over your abuse, over your difficulty, over your pain. Jesus is not a dead Lord. He's a risen, resurrected Savior. And today, you can have the change of your life by stop looking at dead solutions and start trusting in Jesus, the risen, victorious Lord. That's Jesus, friends. That's Jesus. Jesus Christ is not a dead Lord. Say, Jesus Christ is not a dead Lord. He is a risen, resurrected Savior. Can you trust Him? Amen. Wow. I'm going to ask again, can you trust Him? Amen. To live a victorious life, you need to look to Jesus. You need to trust in Jesus. And you're going to love this one. You're going to have to speak about Jesus. You see, if I look at verse 9. While you're looking there, I need to take a sip because I was up at 6. I got a little worked up about the resurrection. You notice that? Passionate. Verse 9, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. I have to tell you something. Something happens. Something miraculously happens. Something wonderful happens inside of you when you talk about Jesus. You see, so much of our conversation is self-centered. But when your conversation is Jesus-centered, you can't help but feel life spring within you. You think about it. When you talk about the things of Jesus, when you share a story about what God has done in your life, how he put something, that driver, I'm sure, had lots of stories to tell about Jesus. Something stirs in you that gives you life. You think about it for a moment. When you first understood that Jesus needed to enter your life, you just couldn't stop talking about it. It's like getting a new car or a new used car. How many of you here have ever bought anything new? You poor other people, I'm sorry. A stick of gum, a chocolate bar, anything new. Anyone bought anything new? Thank you. I mean, a TV or a radio or a light bulb. I mean, I got to tell you, I bought one of those. I'm listening to the peanut gallery. I bought one of. Just kidding. I bought one of those new blue light bulbs, and that you're supposed to make things look real. You know, I guess we don't look real unless we have one of these. I couldn't wait to get home with that thing. I mean, I unpackaged it like a kid on Christmas Day. I mean, I wanted to replace. We had a burnt out bulb. In our living room, I want to replace it, and you know, I was just so excited. We got home, man, I'm ripping this thing open. I mean, I'm excited. It's a blue bulb, you know. I don't know where Joan and the kids disappeared to because this thing was exciting. So I called them in. I wanted them to see this bulb, and so there's Joan and the kids. They're assembled around, and I said, you got to see this. I'm going to wait till you're here. I'm going to turn it on. We're all in the room together. It's going to be the most exciting thing, and I flicked that switch. I'm sure, I'm positive that we all waited with bated breath until, you know, it was amazing. I said to those gathered there, wow, you know, what do you think? And Joan said, I bet you it'll even look better when it's not daytime. But that's how we are, when there's something new in our life. You know, there are people here this morning whose marriages, whose relationships are alive and vital. There are those who marriages can stay. People here this morning, marriages are pointed dying. Some here whose marriages are already dead. Why is that? Why is it that we can't be so excited anymore? I want to give you something practical. I was trying to do that for you to take home with you. And I want you to take this home. Bottom line this for you today. Whatever you put into something, that's what you get out of it. Whatever you put into something, that's what you get. It doesn't matter if it's your relationship with God, if it's your relationship with your spouse, if it's your relationship with your kids, if it's your relationship with your friends. Whatever you put into something, that's what you get out of it. You are excited about that person you married when you first got married, weren't you? You got goosebumps when you looked at them. It's the most awesome thing to just go to dinner. We're going to go to dinner. You're dating. It's exciting. And then you're married. And then it's, I ain't having dinner with you. Going out with the guys. I'd rather go out with my friends. Can you hear this? Why do you look for the living? The living. Why do you look for living your life among the dead, among things that will go nowhere.
But you know, I'm not getting what I need out of this relationship.
I mean, how many friendships are dissolving because we're more concerned about what we want?
It's just not the same anymore, my friend.
Think about that friend when you first met. We're best friends. We're best friends. We're inseparable. We're best friends. And then all of a sudden, a little later, then I said, we don't have anything different in one another. We just need to move on.
We look so much to our own selfish things. And that is just dead.
You were excited about church, your first visit. Wow, you couldn't stop talking about it. Man, I went to church. It's really a great church. I got to talk. And now you can't stop talking about the church, just in a different way. Oh, were you in church yet?
Man, I tell you, couldn't believe what happened to
you. You know, looking for the living among the dead. Dead are those things that are without the life of Christ in them. Dead are those things that are without the life of Christ in them. John Stott, he said it well. I can't quote him often, but I can quote him today. We live and die. Christ died and lived. He's alive. Listen. The tomb of Jesus opened so that people could visually see that Jesus is all you need. Jesus Christ left that tomb before the boulder was ever rolled away. There wanted to be no doubt that Jesus is all you need. He is the living, he's not the dead, and you better believe it. He will give you the life that you want to live. He will give you the energy to make it through your friendships, to make it through your marriage, to make it through your family life. He will give you what you need in your job. But will you let him? Will you let him? He will give you excitement when you speak of him. But will you? How many of you, I don't want to show of hands, I don't want you to, but it's just a question, how many of you will just let Christ resurrect your stagnant soul so that you will truly live once again? Because the power he gives is far greater than anything the world has to offer. We don't need psychic hotlines. We don't need things in our life. We don't need our own selfish desire. We just need him. He is far richer than a lottery. He's more abundant than a casino. He's more refreshing than alcohol. He gives a greater high than any drug you can buy. He's the best antidepressant, tonic, giver of life, the abundant life. You can search everywhere for everything that you think you need in order to enjoy your life, but you will never find it until you reach that open tomb and see that Christ is indeed risen. Discover that power today. Discover the miracle of the open tomb. Trust in the risen Savior and speak of the things that he calls you to speak about. And you will have a victorious life, guaranteed. I don't know if we really learn to do our part to keep ourselves alive. We get passive. We get lazy. We kind of stand by, and we just watch things get stagnant. And we just watch them die. We want something good to happen. But we're waiting for someone else to make it happen. Speak of Jesus. Speak of Jesus, and your life will ooze victory. It will. It will. And people are going to ask you, why are you so different? I close with this story. And I hope it speaks better than anything that I could say today. It's a familiar story, and maybe some of you have heard it before, but it bears repeating. A preacher was leaving Victoria Station in London, and he was sitting across from these two fellas in a little train compartment. These guys were in their late 30s. 10 minutes out of the station, one of the men had an epileptic seizure. His eyes rolled back. His body trembled. Man rolled off the seat under the floor, and he shook uncontrollably. It was a shocking thing to see. It really was. And his friend lifted the stricken man up, and he put him back onto his seat, and he took off his own overcoat, and he put it around him as a blanket, and he rolled up a newspaper, and he put it in his mouth so that the man wouldn't bite his tongue. And then with great compassion, he lovingly blotted the beads of perspiration on the epileptic man's forehead. He just sat there doing this. And after a few minutes, the seizure had come to a conclusion. With the same abruptness with which it began, and the stricken man just fell into a deep sleep. And it was then that his friend, who took off the overcoat, helped him. He turned to the preacher and he said, "Please forgive us. You'll have to forgive us. He doesn't have these seizures very often, but we never know when he gets them, but we know they're frightening. You see, mister, we were in Vietnam together," the fellow continued. "We were both wounded." He said, "I lost a leg," and he pointed to his right leg, and he said, "There's an artificial leg," and he said, "I've learned to walk on it very well." He said, "My friend here had half of his chest blown away by a hand grenade. There was shrapnel all through his chest, and every time he moved, he experienced great pain." He said, "The helicopter that was supposed to rescue us was blown out of the sky by an empty rocket, and with that explosion, we knew that all hopes of being rescued was gone. And mister, it was then that my friend somehow picked himself up. He screamed in pain with every move that he made. But somehow he stood to his feet and he reached down and he grabbed a hold of my shirt and he started pulling me through the jungle. I tried to tell him to give up on me. I pleaded with him, mister. I pleaded with him to save himself if he could. And I kept telling him that there was no way that he was going to get us both out of the jungle. And I'll never forget his words, mister. I'll never forget what he said. He said, 'Jack, if you die in this jungle, I'm going to die here with you.' And I don't know how he did it. But step by step, scream by scream, he pulled me out of that mess. And he saved my life. He said, 1 year ago, I found out that he had this condition and that somebody had to be with him all the time. So he said, I closed down my condo in New York City. I sold my car. And I came over here to take care of him. Mister, that's our story. So I hope you're able to forgive us. And I hope you understand." And the preacher responded as any preacher would. He said, "Don't apologize." He said, "I make my life speaking. And whenever I come upon a good story, I'm thrilled. And this is one of the best stories I've ever heard in a long time." That fellow looked at him on the other side of the compartment. He said, "Hey." He said, "Hey, don't be impressed. Don't be impressed. You see, mister, after what he did for me, there isn't anything I wouldn't do for him." You hear that? After what he did for me, there isn't anything I wouldn't do for him. That is what we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, need to say every moment of our life. After what he did for me, there isn't anything. There isn't anything that I wouldn't do for him. Look to him. Trust him. Speak of him. And you will live a life of victory. And then you understand even more. You understand that Jesus is real. And he is coming again. Let's pray. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you enjoying your life today? The way it is right now, are you enjoying living your life? Are you living a life that you say, hey, this is the greatest future that I'll ever have? Or is your life stagnant? Is it dying? And you're wondering, I need life again. I tell you, come to the tomb and see Jesus. He's not there. He is risen. He is a risen Lord, a risen Savior. So come to him because he is victorious over even your life. And trust in him. Trust in him today with a freshness that you've never trusted him before with your pain, with your hurt, with your addiction, with your circumstances, with your job situation, whatever it is, your family, your spouse, your friends, trust him with it. And don't stop talking about the miracle that he's the miracles he does in your life every moment of your living. If you're willing to say, Lord, today, in a fresh, new way, I'm no longer going to look for solutions in dead things. I'm only going to trust in you who is alive. Would you just lift your hand if you're saying that to the Lord this morning? Lord, bless you. 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 Lord, bless God sees all those hands. Lord, bless you. 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 The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees those hands. I'm not going to trust anymore in dead solutions. I'm going to trust in the living, and that is in Jesus Christ only. Just lift your hand if you're saying that to him today. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Just lift your hand. Lord bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. God sees those hands. This morning, maybe for the first time, you've heard that Jesus Christ died and he was buried and he rose again. And you've heard from your friends speak about Jesus, but you've never really understood that they've told you that you need to trust in him. They've told you you need to come to him and ask him to forgive you, and he will forgive you. And then you can be assured of heaven. You understand in a fresh way what he did for you. And you're going to proclaim that today in your life. You're going to say, Lord, I want you to forgive me where I failed you. I want you to enter my life. I want to be assured of heaven. I trust in you, Jesus. If you're doing that for the first time today, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, lift your head up. Just lift your head up. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father, I get so passionate. I get so passionate, Lord, about this day. But Lord, it's so hard at the same time. It's so difficult, God, because I get so excited, and sometimes I feel, Lord, that maybe I'm just too passionate. And then I realized, God, that it was with passion that you went to the cross. It was with passion that you died that horrible death there. It was with passion that you rose victorious. It was with passion for me and for everyone here and for everyone in the world. It was that passion that allowed you, Lord, that enabled us to not look in dead things any longer, but to only trust in the living. So we trust in you, God. We trust in you, Lord of our life and Lord of this church. We trust in you completely. And we want nothing more, Lord, than to trust in you and speak of you as we look at you. You are our risen, resurrected, victorious Savior. And we will proclaim that until you come and receive unto you us, your followers. To you be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.